Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Or email joe@rte.ie. Dawn D, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Dawn, I believe you're living in beautiful Ballinasloe, but you have a crowded house at the moment.
I have indeed, but I have a good big house, like, at the same time in Ballinasloe. I'm lucky to have the house that I do have. I have my mother staying with me at the moment.
Okay, so how many children have you got, Dawn?
Six children.
So you have six children, and your mother is with you at the moment, and can explain to us why your mom is with you at the moment.
Katie, my mother has been living in council accommodation for the last 11 years. She's been at that present address. It's quite a dilapidated house, to be honest. It's an old prefab style house. There's an awful lot of problems with it. It's not insulated. She has, this last 4 weeks now, there's been no running water in the house. So I told her to come over here and stay. Now, she's been staying here on and off, as tragically last June, her only son, my brother John Mike, was killed in a car accident. So he was literally 2 minutes away from my mother's house.
Oh, I'm very, very sorry to hear that, Dawn.
Yeah. Awful, horrible thing now to happen, to be honest with you. As you can imagine, John Mike was her only son, so it hit my mother now very, very bad. But apart from the fact of that, the thing that's really putting the icing on the cake with my mother is that the accident happened so close to home. He was on his way that morning to my mother's house to cut her grass for her. When he crashed. And since that, Katie, to be honest with you, my mother cannot face living in that house. Apart from all the problems with the house, it being cold and damp, etc., this has just, you know, put the tin hat on it now for my mother. She cannot face staying in that house. Like, the morning of my brother's accident, my mother was unaware that he had crashed literally 2 minutes away from her. My mother had no clue at all. She's seen a hearse passing her front door with a coffin inside it, and my mother didn't even know that that was her child that was in that coffin. And that image will stay with my mother for the rest of her life every time she looks out her front window over there. You know, and at the moment, my mother is at rock bottom. Now, in 2014, my mother had been on to the council to say there was X, Y, and Z wrong with the house. It's rural. It's like 6 miles away from the nearest town. My mother doesn't drive. And she most definitely will not go on the road now at all because of my brother's accident. That's just shook her. So in 2014, she was accepted for a transfer. The council agreed that the house wasn't fit for purpose for her. She's been on to them here and there down through the years to try and push to get transferred out of there. But since John Mike died, Lord have mercy on him, I've been on to the council a number of times. I've been on to a very good TD who's advocated on behalf of my mother as well, and just getting nowhere, Katie. My mother, all she wants is to be in Ballinasloe, close to me, close where her son is buried. He's buried here in Ballinasloe, literally 2 minutes up the road from my house here. She just wants a bit of warmth and a bit of comfort. She's 59 years of age. Like, she isn't getting any younger now. She has chest problems, etc. And she's broke down from it all. And it's a horrible, horrible thing for any daughter to see her mother in that way. You know, she's trying to grieve the loss of John Mike, but she can't even do that in her own home. She's here with us. She feels like she's burdening us, which she most certainly is not. And I've told her that. I keep reassuring her that she's not. She can stay here as long as she wants to stay. But she's always been a very independent woman, and she likes her independence. She just wants her own home that's warm and comfortable. That's all she's asking for. But we're just being hit by blank walls wherever we go.
And I'm looking at pictures here of the house, of your mother's house. And she was living there on her own for a number of years.
On her own, yeah. And my sister, my younger sister, was with her for a couple of years after she got the house first. And my sister then went on to college in Galway, and she branched off in her own direction. She's living in Galway now. And it's quite hard even for my sister to commute to that area where my mother is living to visit her. It's like, what happens is my sister more or less comes to Ballinasloe now and arranges to meet my mother here at my house, because it's awkward, buses and things, you know, out the countryside, there's not a lot of transport unless you're getting taxis now.
Yeah, but the house itself, I could obviously, it's one of these, it's a prefab basically, isn't it? It's
that's exactly what it is. Like, you don't see even many of them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Ireland. And I can see holes here under the eaves.
There's bats in her attic, there's birds in them, they've ate all the electrical wires in the past. The electrical works were condemned in the house there going back over a year ago. The house had to be rewired from wires being ate, etc. And you can probably see another picture there of plastic on the ground and rocks left on top of it.
Yeah, I have that in front of me now. What's that?
That is, from what my mother tells me, that's where her water in the winter time, every winter, when the freezing weather comes in, my mother is left without water. So she sort of put that plastic down on top of it and extra layers of insulation or whatever to try and prevent it from freezing, which it never does.
And what are the... Because obviously we all know that we have this huge housing crisis at the moment and there's young families and many others waiting for a house, and the housing lists are as long as everyone's arm.
Yeah.
What are they saying to your mother?
They're just saying that she'll be left on the list and when her turn comes, basically, to get a house. There's other people that are priorities in front of her. She was told there a few months back, just after John Mike died, that basically the priority is to get the people off the streets first before they can look at anybody else. And now we fully understand, like, the homeless crisis that is going on. I was in it myself a couple of years ago, and that's another story. I'm housed now and I'm settled for life, thank God, in a lovely home. But the council have to be able, Katie, to make exceptions for exceptional cases. Like, my mother is ground down from being in that house over there. Like, she's had a nervous breakdown already since John Mike's death. And I'm over here, and when she does go back to the house over there, I'm worried today about her over there. It's a constant fear and a worry in me about my mother being over there.
Well, I believe we have your mother on the line now, Dawn.
Yeah.
Kathleen Mulcahy.
Yeah. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Kathleen. Kathleen, our sincere sympathies. You've had a very hard year. It was last summer that you had that terrible tragedy with John Mike.
I did indeed, but bad and all, as my son's death is to come to terms with, I am coming to terms with his death. But when I have to return to the house to put power into the house, electricity and things, keep things running there and check on the house, I find it very, very difficult. And the fact that I was the last one to know that morning, that they could contact my daughter, and she was aware he was dead before I was. But that's neither here nor there. We're discussing the house here. The house has been, like, condemned more or less because it's a fire risk. Now, when the power goes, everything goes in my house. The toilet flush goes. There's no drinking water available. I have to go to the barrel if I want to wash up some cups and things like that. It's absolutely wash my clothes in rainwater. Like, you get over those bits and pieces when you have a barrel out the back of your house. But when you have to trudge to town and you don't drive, you go by bus and you have to put gallons of water from Aldi into it, bring it out to the house for drinking and boiling the kettle. And like I said, sometimes there's electricity, sometimes there is. I feel that I'm not alone, a lost cause since I lost my son, a failure. I feel that I I feel like I'm a lost voice, that anything I relate to the council, they won't engage with me. I have to go through, people are stepping in, TDs and things like that, and they don't even relate to them. They just say, when one becomes available, you'll be housed. If they would offer me just some clarity that I could wash myself at least and just say, look, book into bed and breakfast like I asked them, please. That house is a fire risk. When I hear storms, I never know whether the house is going up. I have to come out and check everything. And I have to just put my foot down now and let people see there is homeless people on the street, but they're actually safer than I am in that house.
Kathleen, it's a horrific situation as you describe it there yourself. So how far out in the country is this house?
I'm actually 8 kilometres from town, Port from the town. I class myself as semi-rural because there is, it's agricultural community. Mm-hmm. You get power cuts in the summer because of overloading of milking machines in the community and things like that. But then you get, because of the terrible storms we get in winter, rain and wind, you can't hear anything in the house because the wind is whistling through the house. The drafts are unbelievable. You're jerking out of your skin when the heating doesn't work because once the power goes, everything goes, central heating goes, everything. But I've related these problems umpteen occasions to the council and I'm like a lost voice.
And tell me, up until recently, and not to bring you back to a difficult place for you, but up until recently, you were managing there, and John Mike was helping you out in terms. Obviously, he was
the best son any mother could ever wish for. He would bring me like petrol for the strimmer to strim the lawn. He was always fussy about the lawns and things like that. He would go up in the attic for me, you know, because I was afraid because there's bats up there and I'm not afraid of bats. They're a protected species, I know, but I'm paying $41.90 every week for to keep bats and birds in my attic that are picking at electric wires. And I've told the council, why are you rewiring the house when you won't see to the weather boards on the house? It's too high for me to get up to. Otherwise, I would do it myself, but I don't drive. Mm. I'd bring out the timber and get it done. But do you know?
And did you never drive, Kathleen?
I drove in England years back, and I was a confident driver. But my son was. I was going to buy an electric car this coming year. This year we're in now. Mm-hmm. I was going to save up and buy an electric car. I'm a job seeker since my family is all grown up. Mm-hmm. And I have 9 lovely grandchildren and they're what keep me going, but I hate to let my side down to see that I'm the weak party now, you know, and that it's my children that is keeping me going.
Oh, I'm sure, Kathleen, that there's not one of them that thinks that. I know from what Dawn is telling us there
But Katie, they're moving on now and they're coming to terms. Even my little grandchildren here that adore John Mike, they've all come to terms with his death slowly. And I feel I'm sitting, I know it's not happening, but I feel as though I'm keeping the death in the household by being here, you know. I'm in a terrible place.
But is it the proximity, the fact that John Mike had that accident so close to your house? Is that a big part of this for you, Kathleen?
The road the house is on, like I said, it was about two minutes away from me where the accident happened. And I didn't know. I seen the hearse pass me by. I seen the rapid response. I heard the rapid response and I said, oh my God, there must be a terrible fire in Port Humna. And the next thing I got a phone, I said, Dawn, John Michael is not here yet, I said, and he should be here. This rapid response gone back the road and I'm afraid that he's coming the Loch Ray side, that he'd go into them, you know. Little did I know that my son was dead on the road.
What age was he, Kathleen?
36.
Oh, that is
a wonderful person. He adored the young and the old. He adored the young and the old. He always looked after us because I have 2 remaining daughters, and because I'm divorced from their father, he was the head of the household kind of thing. He took on a big responsibility. He didn't have to, but we adored him. We looked up to him. We knew we were safe with him.
Kathleen, I don't know what to say to you. That is the most a terrible loss to have to bear when you're, and again, in circumstances where you're so unsettled.
I mean, I'm actually, it's just like, it's all out in the open now, like I'm grieving, but I'm not grieving today for John Michael. I've kept under wraps when I'm here with the children, the grandchildren and things, but what I do know for solid fact is he was my rock. And I can't even use the term, because the crash where he had the rocks came down on the road. I can't say what I've hit a block wall at council. His car accident comes into my head again, you know. But what I'm saying is, why was Galway Council not acknowledge a tenant that is in no arrears with rent, that keeps ourselves in pristine surroundings, look after the property and things? Why will they not give me the clarity to put me in somewhere where I can at least wash myself, where I don't have to annoy my daughter with six children that need their baths and showers? Why have I not got that bit of dignity in my life?
And you're saying that you're just not getting engagement from the county council? I mean, has there been over the years engagement?
No, not really. As far as they're concerned, I'm in a two-bed accommodation, which they agreed condemned with a fire risk.
In writing, that they believe that the house you're living in is a fire risk?
Well, they came out and they said, look, I showed them, I said, look, the interior doors are all, you know, the ones with the little paper cardboard in the middle of them. Mm-hmm. None of them are fireproof. The mantel shelf is like a couple of inches away from the kitchen door frame, and the door, the actual kitchen door, is paper pin, like, you know, they're just them paper doors.
But I suppose your main issue
is that the electrical, because the birds are going in and picking up wires and things like that, they're both going to cause a fire in the house. There's decor before I moved in with, it's all very matchstick-like. It's not even treated timber. In a wardrobe in the back room where my daughter, that was my daughter's, the youngest daughter's room. And it's just, I'm saying, like, if the wires go on fire, if birds cause a fire through electrical wiring, they've come out and rewired it. Fair play to the council, but they overlooked the biggest issue of the lot to stop the birds going in the attic, and that was the weatherboards.
Kathleen, I hear what you're saying about the birds and the wiring and the all the other issues that you have. The water, of course, is another huge issue for you. But it does strike me that what has brought all of this to a head is losing John Mike.
Well, whatever clarity I had in the house before, I have none now. I have none at all now. I mean, I can't even go to the bathroom and say, well, let's wash away all the unkindness that's going on in the world and everything. I can't even do that now. Do you know, I mean, a person needs to be hygienically clean. That's an understood thing in the whole world. Like, you know, you have to keep your body clean. And I don't even feel clean anymore, you know. They've just taken my dignity, a one-parent family that reared my three children, and they're three fine people. I can't stress enough how fine of children I have reared and I'm proud of. And now I have two, and now they've taken the little bit of dignity that I had about the clean, honest, living woman I am. They've taken that from me.
Stay with us, Kathleen. Dawn?
Yeah.
Listening to your mother there.
I am, yeah. And it's heartbreaking to listen to my mother, to be honest, Katie. And I see my mother the way she is. Like, you know, she can be fine here. The children will sort of keep her upbeat in the house here. They'll keep her on her toes. But the very minute that it comes to that trip to Portumna to put electric into her meter box and things, Well, when we come back here, if my mother comes back with us, my mother could be upstairs in that bedroom for 2 days, 3 days sometimes, without coming out of that bedroom, just wanting to be left on her own. And it's a horrible thing to see my mother like that. You know, all she wants in her life now is a proper little home that's warm and comfortable. She's not asking for, well, I don't think she's asking for too much at this age in her life.
And do you get any sense at all that that there's going to be some shift from the council?
Oh, if there was, Katie, if there was some even little thing from them, like if they said, you know, well, I've brought up two empty properties now to them. They're two bedrooms, and I've brought them to the council's attention. And
these are properties in Ballinasloe, is it?
Yeah, they're in Ballinasloe, and my mother has said that she'd be happy to take one of them. So she would. Like, even if they said, well, leave it with us, we have a bit of work to do on this property. They're just given nothing for her to cling on to, no bit of hope there at all for her to hold on to keep her going, you know. She cannot keep going the way she's going from here to Port Humna. She's back here now again because there's no water in the house over there. That's been brought to the council's attention as well. We got an email back from them saying that it's been sent on to the maintenance department. That's 9-10 days ago, so it is. Like, water is a basic human right for everybody. You know, that should be a priority thing with the council. Well, let's get the engineer or the maintenance men out and get this problem fixed. This woman needs water, but no, nothing from them. I don't know. I can't understand it, like, because they should have some bit of compassion and just say, well, look, there is an empty property there. Give it to her. I know there is homeless people
I know, and I'm conscious that we're having this conversation in the context of there's a lot of people in very, very difficult situations with nothing at all, not even what your mother is left
with. Well, see,
there.
This is what they're saying. There's people that haven't got a roof over their head. Your mother has got a roof over her head, even though my mother is terrified to stay in the house. She is actually terrified that that house will go up in fire or something. And then there's the added fact, like you said, of the accident happening on that road. Every time she looks out, walks out on the road, it's bringing it all back to her again. Even when we just approach Port Humna town, I can see a change in my mother from there. You know, she just wants to walk away from that area over there, close the door of that house and start fresh over in Ballinasloe here, to be near me where I can support her, she can support me. She's near to John Mike's grave. She can walk and visit it anytime she wants. She's within walking distance in Ballinasloe of the hospital, the shops, everything. She doesn't need to have a car. If she needs to be driven anywhere, my partner John is always there to bring her.
Okay, Dawn, thank you for that. Kathleen, we wish you the very best, and we hope, Kathleen, and sincerely hope that your circumstances are improved very, very soon. There, we'll take a break.